Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Election Day in the city of Tucson. It is Tuesday, the 8th of November, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, known as The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe. And if you're in Cochise County, you are most likely listening on KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can now be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. And thanks to our new agreement, which went into effect just last week with the Tucson Citizen, the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7 at TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes a leadoff interview with Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Then at 20 past the hour, our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 minutes past the hour, is border security masking environmental assault? We'll talk with the architect of the Sierra Club's Borderlands Initiative. Then we'll close out the show with writer Jan Irwin talking about her new book. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Well, a couple of weeks ago here on the Buckmaster Show, we talked with State Representative Cecil Ash. Mr. Ash, a Republican from Mesa, wants to re-examine the provisions of the Arizona Criminal Justice Code with a goal of reducing the number of prisoners in Arizona jails. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Barbara, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad we could have you on the program to kind of get the other side of the story. Mr. Ash was very passionate about what he believes, and he says there are just too many people behind bars who shouldn't be there, which I assume you would disagree with that.
Well, we sent Mr. Ash a copy of the Fisher Report, which is Prisoners in Arizona, and it's a profile of the prison population. And it's one of the most in-depth, detailed statistical profiles of the Arizona prison population that was ever attempted. It was done by a PhD who previously worked in research for Department of Corrections. And I would completely disagree, because what we show in this report is that the people who are in Arizona's prisons are the people who belong there. 94% of them are either violent criminals, repeat criminals, or violent and repeat criminals. I dare say that those are exactly the people we want behind bars.
Yeah, I have this. It's actually a 90-page report, and it is, as you say, very thorough. The report is titled Prisoners in Arizona, A Profile of the Inmate Population. Give us a few more highlights from that report, Barbara.
Well, that report, and by the way, Bill, it's being updated as we speak, and the new results should be out within the next 30 to 45 days, hopefully definitely by the end of the year. At the time of this report, which was in early spring a year ago, there were over 40,500 inmates in the custody of the Department of Corrections. And out of those, 84% of them had one or more prior felony convictions. More than half of that number, 56%, had two or more prior felony convictions. And 42% had three or more. So that tells us that a significant portion of the Arizona prison are people who are repeat, chronic, recidivist criminals of one sort or another. nearly 25% were confirmed members of prison or street gangs. So we're incarcerating the repetitive, the habitual criminals, the murderers, the robbers, the arsonists, the child molesters, you know, the drive-by shooters. The people that we have in prison are the ones who belong there. There were less than 6% of them were what Cecil Ash and other people call nonviolent felony offenders. Less than 6%.
As I recall, Barbara Lawal, from my interview with Mr. Ash, I think he was saying that per capita, Arizona has one of the highest incarceration rates in the country. Do you know that to be true?
You know what? I don't know whether that's accurate or not.
Okay. Getting back to some of the things he is suggesting, let's address a couple of these. He wants to restore incentives for prisoners to earn early release. What would you say about that?
Well, you know, I worked very, very hard a decade or so ago to get truth in sentencing. And what truth in sentencing says is that anyone sent to prison will serve 85% of whatever time it is. So you know that if somebody is sentenced to 10 years, they will serve 8.5 of those years. So as a minimum. I don't want to go back to the system that we had when I first started in the office, where people could earn good time and all different kinds of special time to knock off their sentence, so that if they got sentenced to 10 years, they might only do 3. That somehow is just wrong.
Barbara Lawal is with us. Barbara is the Pima County Attorney. It's 12:11 on the Buckmaster Show. Barbara, we talked with you in January. The Pima County Attorney's Office had launched a program to reduce the number of people addicted to drugs, lower the county's crime rate, and reap huge savings in terms of prison costs and human tragedy. Has that program been initiated now?
Oh, yes, and we just finished our first year in that program, and we found some really good results, and we're continuing. We've got 2 more years in the program, and, you know, one of the things, although I'm just passionate about sending the right people to prison in order to keep our community safe, I'm also equally as passionate about the fact that there are a number of folks out there who are committing crimes because they are addicted, and that if we can give them treatment in lieu of prison and incarceration, then hopefully what we'll be able to do is to create productive citizens and get them back into society without having to incarcerate them. And we're giving them residential drug treatment in lieu of being sent to prison.
So it's your contention, and again, you go back, I would assume, to that report, that 90-page report, that the vast majority of people who are behind bars in the state of Arizona need to be behind bars.
Yes. Look, we're not – there's a myth out there that we're incarcerating all of these nonviolent drug offenders, and it's absolutely not true. In Arizona, you can't send anyone by law to prison for a drug possession offense of any kind of drug, whether it's heroin or cocaine or marijuana, till they've been convicted for the 3rd time. So we're not sending first offense drug users to prison. That's just totally a myth. And in fact, for those drug offenders, remember I said about 5.8% of all the offenders in DOC are nonviolent. 6% of that group, an even smaller number, are in there for drug possession. 38% of those folks have a history of felony violence. 95% have felony priors. And so you see that even people who are being sent for drug possession are folks in this who have pled guilty from trafficking, selling, being involved in some more complex drug offense. These are not minor drug possessors.
One of the other things that Cecil Ash, the conservative Republican from Mesa, would like to see judges' discretion or give the judges discretion to deviate from the mandated sentences where appropriate. Would you support that?
No, I don't. We worked very hard to get our mandatory sentencing. Judges have a discretion within a wide range. So, for instance, if somebody is convicted of an aggravated assault, the people of Arizona have said that is an offense because it's an offense committed with a gun or causes serious physical injury, that somebody must go to prison. But a judge now has the discretion to sentence somebody from about 3 years to 15 years, depending upon various circumstances with regards to that individual offense. So judges do have discretion within very, very broad ranges.
You are a member of the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission, and the report came out actually in October that Arizona's crime rate continues to decline. What's your take on that report?
I just find it absolutely fascinating and very gratifying that the crime rate, not only in Arizona but nationally, has continued to decline significantly with juvenile crime as well. As a result, one of the things that we've seen, and there was an article in the paper just last Friday in the Arizona Republic, the Department of Corrections prisoner inmate count has decreased accordingly as well. So if I wish I knew exactly what was causing it, Bill, because then we could replicate what we're doing. I think it's a result of a number of different things, and one of them, absolutely, I'm convinced, is that we are incarcerating the right folks.
Barbara, let's see if we can squeeze a quick call in for you on the Buckmaster Show live line. Al is with us. Go ahead, Al. You're with Barbara LaWall.
Thank you, Ms. LaWall. Al, I'm a big supporter of yours.
And thank
you. And I wanted to ask regarding the mandatory sentences that you were talking about. I hope that I did not misunderstand. Do those guidelines also apply to state and federal people regarding first-time drug offenders, that they don't go to prison?
The federal guidelines are totally different and separate and apart from what I'm talking about. These are only state laws that apply to all felony offenses in Arizona, which would be my office and anything the Attorney General handles in that regard as well. But it's very, very different for federal offenses.
Okay, our thanks to Al, and we have Barbara LaWall with us just for a few more seconds. The last time we spoke with the sheriff, he was talking about the population locally at the Pima County Jail has been going down. Is that still the trend from what you're hearing, Barbara LaWall?
It is. It's still going down. So I don't know whether that's a result of crime going down or fewer officers out on the street to make arrests, but that's exactly what we're seeing.
Okay, Barbara LaWall, Pima County Attorney, thank you very much for being
with
us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon, Barbara.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Barbara LaWall with us, Pima County Attorney. Let's talk money. The Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman is up next. We're going to be talking about inflation. Could the big I word be back? We'll talk with Shelley about that as we continue on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And for what it's worth, I can give some advice, and I advise if you're looking for a certified financial planner, the guy to my left right here, and that's not a political statement, but microphone left, is Shelley Fishman, and he knows what he is talking about. Shelley, good to see you.
Hey, Bill.
You know, I was teasing the word, the big I word, inflation, and people are probably going, inflation, what's that? I mean, there's no inflation. It's, look at your CDs or whatever, they're earning like point whatever percent.
Well, you know,
is it around? Is the rearing it its ugly head, perhaps?
It is, and it's doing it in ways that are kind of unusual. What's happening right now is that commodities worldwide are suffering from inflation, and we're importing that inflation from essentially the third world. Because of, number one, much increased demand for food, wheat, rice, etc., there have been significant droughts and floods in different areas, so that the production of some of these staples has fallen off. You remember that there was a tremendous drought in Russia that I think decimated their wheat crop. We've had some problems here, but it's mostly around the world that's created increasing prices for food. We know that, of course, that one of the biggest commodities is oil, and that's up, you know, over the past 3 or 4 years significantly. And so all of those things are putting upward pressure on prices in a way that's hard for us to control. You know, typically, in our economy, the Federal Reserve Bank is charged with monetary policy, and one of their most important functions is to control inflation. And they do that by dinking with interest rates. Theoretically, when you raise interest rates, inflation comes under control because money becomes scarcer. And when you lower interest rates, you open up avenues for inflation to take hold. The problem is that model doesn't work. It has not worked in more than a decade. We had very low interest rates during most of the Bush years, during most of Greenspan's
tenure
during 2000. I was thinking it was a little different during the 90s, but we didn't see very much inflation. And now, of course, our interest rates, short-term interest rates, which is what is used, is close to zero, and we're not seeing any internally generated inflation. Part of that is because there's no demand, and we've talked about this before. When people aren't spending because they don't have money, there's no upward pressure on prices. So the inflation that we are seeing, and we're all seeing it at the supermarket, we're seeing it at the gas station, et cetera, is coming from overseas. And that's very dangerous because we can't control it.
When would you suspect that we might see this inflation to affect the investor?
Well, quite frankly, I'm hedging most of my portfolios already in anticipation of some inflationary pressure. I don't think it's going to be much, but I think there's going to be some inflationary pressure. And I use what are called TIPS, or Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds and Bills, or TIPS funds. There's a fund that actually tracks the price of TIPS. Interesting that you should raise the question today, because I was just looking at it with a client this morning. TIP funds are up about 6% this year. They shouldn't be, but they are. And they're paying, the yield is somewhere between 2 and 3%. Mm. Again, you wouldn't expect that given the fact that there's no meaningful core inflation here in the States, but they are. So there are people demanding that kind of protection in the future. And I would recommend that people talk to their advisors about getting some inflation protection built into their portfolios.
And it's been a while since they have needed that protection, right?
I mean,
what are we talking about? How many years has it been since we really have not been talking about inflation?
Well, in order to stimulate the economy in 2001, 2002, the 2003, the Bush administration and Fed Chairman Greenspan lowered Fed rates significantly, and so interest rates started coming down. They never really went up again. So it's at least a decade.
So for the investment strategy is what when you're starting to have that slow inflation?
Well, the investment strategy is, number one, you want to invest in companies that benefit from inflationary pressure. So that's on the positive side. But on the hedging side, on the protection side, you want to buy things that work counter to the effects of inflation, so that when inflation picks up, you're going to have some things in the portfolio that are going to counter what the Fed is going to do, because the Fed's going to slow things down by raising interest rates. So you want to have stuff in your portfolio that will work counter to that to stabilize the volatility in your portfolio.
The market fairly flat today, but for the year, we're up about 3.5%.
We're over 12,000.
What's your updated prediction for
as
us
it
here
has
on, the,
been
on the Moneymaker
all year
report?
No change. We're going to be up 6-7% for the
year. I'm writing it down. Shelby says 6-7%.
Somewhere in the area of 12,005 on the Dow. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, so you think in the next 6 to 7 weeks we're going to see some upward action toward people in a good mood, maybe around the holidays.
And that's typical, the Christmas pressure up. But I do think that Europe is beginning to articulate that they're dealing with their problems. Maybe volatility will come down a little bit, and then normal pressure will bring the market up about 3%. That's not a lot of movement.
Shelly Fishman has been with us, and he's with us every Tuesday with his Moneymaker Report. Shelly, in the remaining few seconds, certified financial planner, means?
Well, it means that you take essentially the credits required for another master's degree and then a 10-hour exam. It's just a joy.
But it means basically it's somebody you can trust, usually.
Yes. And somebody who takes a fiduciary responsibility for your accounts.
Shelley Fishman, we can reach you at
795-7950 and www.shelleyfishman.com.
Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Italian Premier Berlusconi is promising to resign. He says he'll step down after Parliament passes economic reforms that have been demanded by the European Union. The International Atomic Energy Agency says that Iran is suspected of conducting secret nuclear experiments whose only purpose could be to develop weapons. The Air Force acknowledges that the mortuary that receives American war dead and prepares them for burial has lost some human remains in recent months. Updating the Wall Street numbers, stocks are in positive territory. The Dow is up about 58 points at 12,126. The NASDAQ better by 27 points, and the S&P trading 12 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
It's 12:34. This is the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We are live noon to 1, Monday through Friday. on AM 1030 KVOI, known as The Voice. And we are the strongest news talk station, the most powerful news talk station in southern Arizona. We have that additional reach with our stations in Douglas and in Globe. So we have figured the Buckmaster Show is heard in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties. While Republican lawmakers, including U.S. Senator John McCain, say that federal agents trying to patrol the U.S.-Mexico border are being hampered by laws that keep them from driving their vehicles on huge areas of land that fall under the U.S. environmental protection. That leaves it to, they say, illegal immigrants and smugglers being able to walk through the territory undisturbed. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Dan Millis. Mr. Millis has been the coordinator of the Sierra Club Borderlands since its inception in 2008. Mr. Millis, Dan, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me, Bill.
Dan, tell me about the Borderlands, this Borderlands initiative.
Of the Sierra Club or of these lawmakers?
Of the Sierra Club.
Well, our Borderlands program started in 2008. And it started along with we actually sort of released our program along with our film, which many of your listeners may have seen. It's called Wild versus Wall. And it's a 20-minute Sierra Club production all about the environmental impacts associated with the 649 miles of barriers and walls that have been constructed along the U.S.-Mexico border. That began in 2008, and we've been fighting against the negative impacts of these walls and barriers and other border militarization efforts ever since.
Nearly 40%, as you know, Dan, of the land on the U.S.-Mexico border and about a quarter of the land on the U.S.-Canadian border is public land. Driving is prohibited on those parts of the land that are designated wilderness areas. Now there are efforts in Washington to change all of that.
Well, that's mostly correct. The one caveat that I would add is that Border Patrol does have the ability to drive in designated wilderness in cases of hot pursuit. And they have used that. In fact, we would say they've even abused that in some areas such as Cabeza Preta National Wildlife Refuge, where they recently inventoried nearly 8,000 miles of unauthorized roads and wildcat vehicle tracks. Most of which is attributed to the Border Patrol's activities there.
Have you seen a big difference in that area?
Well, the biggest difference in that area has been the vehicle barriers that were installed along the southern edge has sort of shifted the vehicle impacts from smugglers to Border Patrol. There's still a lot of foot traffic through there. There's still foot traffic everywhere, whether it's vehicle barriers or border walls, because neither of those are stopping people. They're not working, but they are having some serious impacts for the wildlife and their habitat in these areas.
Dan Millis is with us. He's from the Sierra Club. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you're outside of Tucson, you can use our 790-2040. Let's just keep it at that, right? Anyway, what about these efforts now in Washington, Dan? Can you kind of summarize what is being talked about by the lawmakers?
Sure. There are two bills that we're very concerned about and that we're opposing. The first is by U.S. Representative Rob Bishop, who is from the border state of Utah. I'm joking, by the way.
Okay.
And he's proposed that we waive.
Well, they're a border state to Arizona.
That's true. Okay. That's true. We need to wall off that northern Arizona border, right?
Okay.
Anyway, his proposal would waive 36 federal protection laws in all federal lands within 100 miles of the U.S.-Mexico and U.S.-Canada land borders. So we're talking about thousands of miles, thousands of square miles of public lands that where protections such as the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, these important laws would no longer apply to Border Patrol in those areas. And we think that's a horrible idea. We support the rule of law, and that's why we're opposing this bill. There are similar proposals from Senator McCain and Representative Quayle that would amend the Homeland Security authorization bill to have a very similar effect. McCain's amendment would apply to within 100 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border, and Quayle's would apply to the U.S.-Mexico and U.S.-Canada border. These particular proposals don't waive the laws, but they do give Border Patrol carte blanche to do whatever they want in these areas. So it has the same effect as waiving the important protection laws.
And how does waiving the Environmental Species Act in Glacier National Park help secure the border?
Well, it really doesn't. And obviously, this is just a front. It's a cover where they're using national security issues or border security issues as an excuse to go after important environmental laws that they happen not to agree with.
How realistic, at least from your point of view, is this threat to our environmental laws?
Well, I mean, it's very realistic. It's a reality already here on the U.S.-Mexico border. We've seen these 36 federal laws already waived by Section 102 of the Real ID Act in 2005. And since then, we've seen, like I mentioned, we've got 649 miles of barriers and walls built on the U.S.-Mexico border, the majority of that done in violation of these laws through this type of waiver authority. So it set a very dangerous precedent, and now our brothers and sisters on the U.S.-Canada border are feeling the weight of that precedent today.
And the existing Real ID Act waivers have paved the way for tremendous environmental damage. That's what one of your colleagues, Scott Nickel, wrote about recently in the Arizona Republic.
Absolutely. We've seen wildlife corridors blocked off. That's really bad news for species that are vulnerable to having, basically vulnerable to inbreeding because of a low genetic pool. We've seen habitat destroyed. For example, at the Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge here in Arizona, there was 50 acres of habitat for the endangered species of quail called the mast bobwhite that ended up underneath the barriers and roads. And additionally, we've seen just a lot of damage to the land, whether it's from erosion or downcutting. We've seen the border wall itself in Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument actually fell down in August because of a flood. So, you know, that costs the taxpayers money. That causes serious erosion and hydrology problems within the national monument. And we're seeing these kinds of problems in all these areas because the environmental studies and due diligence just has not been done. Federal law has not been followed, and that's bad news.
Well, the Border Patrol says they cannot enforce the immigration laws without violating the rest of our nation's laws. So what do you say to that?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, we're a nation of laws, and we're here to, we believe that we should try to respect all of those laws to the best we can. And waiving, you know, dozens of laws in the name of trying to better enforce a few sort of immigration statutes doesn't make sense on the border. It doesn't make sense in the grand scheme of things. And so what we're trying to do is get the root causes of this problem addressed. We're talking about, you know, trade policies that need to be looked at, international development, sustainable development in sending countries. Let's see why the situation is the way it is and try to address that instead of trying to wall it off and plug our ears and pretend it's not there.
Dan Millis is with us from the Sierra Club, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. What about the wall along the border? There are areas, quite a few miles actually, Dan Millis, that have not had a fence put up. You would like, I assume, keep it that way.
Well, I think so.
Or
I
mean, what is your view on the border fence?
Certainly in the majority of cases, places like Big Bend National Park in Texas, that's definitely not a place where we want any sort of barrier at all. These are beautiful, wild, remote places. They're not places where these illicit, unauthorized crossings are occurring. And they're just absolute gems for our national heritage. Like I did mention, we got 649 miles. About 350 of that is a tall border wall, and the other 300 is a vehicle barrier about as tall as you or I, made out of steel and concrete. And there are problems in certain places, and that's what we want is a program that looks at what the problems are on a border-wide level and how we can address those problems.
This is the Buckmaster Show on AM at 1030 KVOI. We are going to go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Doug is with us, and Doug, you are with Dan Millis from the Sierra Club. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, and I have a question for the guest. I have a friend that got a contract doing landscaping work in the national park right on the border south of us here. And he said that, you know, there are no Border Patrol allowed there. He said so it was a very dangerous area. He said illegal traffickers were coming through there. They were shot at. His workers were shot at. So my question is, what would you propose we do there in these areas where people know it's an open area, they can just cross through and do illegal activities and still be sensitive to the environment?
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Well, Doug, if you're referring to Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument, which would be the national park unit closest to where we are today here in Tucson, there actually is a Border Patrol forward operating base within the boundaries of the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. They have a very strong presence there. I mentioned the impact from the off-road driving on the adjacent Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge. So, you know, sometimes there can be a misperception that Border Patrol is not present, either because they're hidden or because, in fact, they aren't present in an area at a certain time. Our border is huge. It's vast. It's 2,000 miles long here on the southern border and 4,000 miles long on the Canadian border. So you're not always going to see the Border Patrol when you go out to some of these areas. However, that said, you're much more likely to see Border Patrol than you are to see any sort of drug smuggler or even just undocumented people crossing outside the ports of entry. So, you know, you hear the horror stories, you hear this stuff on Fox News that are, you know, in some cases outright lies. And just, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Go down to the border for yourself. You can call up a group called Border Links here in Tucson, or there's a variety of other groups that are offering border tours. And I'd suggest getting down there for yourself and having a look around and seeing what you think of the situation.
We're going to have to run, Dan Millis. But you basically, it sounds like you're saying there are very few areas that are unprotected along that border.
Absolutely. I can't think of a single place where Border Patrol is not allowed.
Okay, Dan Millis, thanks a lot. From the Sierra Club, the Borderlands, Dan has been actually heading up the Sierra Club's Borderlands initiative since its inception in 2008. Dan, thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Dan Millis on the Buckmaster Show. Jan Irwin is next. We'll be talking about her new book as we continue with the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge!
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
$12.49 on the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to all of you who called during the Dan Millis interview. I'm sorry we could not get to about two of you, just a certain time limitation. It's an issue that, of course, will not be going away, so we will readdress it in the near future. Jan Irwin's vision was damaged after birth and grew worse over time. Even so, her parents provided her with an environment that enabled her to thrive. In a new book titled Making Friends with Other Trees and Flowers, Jan relates with humor and honesty how a vivid imagination makes it possible for her to understand the blurred images of her world. She shows how disability, when coupled with creativity, can provide chances for boundless fulfillment. Jan Irwin is a well-known Tucson pianist and musicologist and holds degrees from Sarah Lawrence College and Yale University School of Music. Her doctorate of musical arts is from the University of Arizona here in Tucson, where she has lived since 1974. Jan is also internationally recognized for her lectures on music in the novels of Jane Austen. Jan, it's good to see you again.
It's wonderful to be here again, Bill.
I think this would be my third interview with you. One of the times we were talking on TV about Jane Austen.
That's correct.
Dr. Richard Carmona, the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, had some wonderful things to say about your book. He says it's insightful, it's inspirational, and it's really a journey of triumph, he calls it. Let's begin with the title, Jan, Making Friends with Other Trees and Flowers. What should we make of that title?
You will have to read the last couple of sentences at the end of chapter 14, which is the basic end of the book, not counting a postlude and a postscript. What it has to do in its literal sense, I was being driven away from my beloved childhood home in Belmont, Massachusetts, down to Sarah Lawrence College, only a few hours away, being in New York. And I was thinking of saying goodbye to my favorite trees and flowers that I knew from my home in Belmont. And as I said in the last chapter, this was to be a final farewell, for I was never to live in that house again. I would be elsewhere, making friends with different trees and other flowers, and meeting new challenges. But after all, meeting challenges was something for which I was unusually well prepared. So when I decided to have as the book cover the red hibiscus, I expanded the meaning of the title because it means where I grew up, I was making friends with maple trees and violets, and out here, I've made friends with lemon trees and hibiscus.
It is a beautiful cover, the hibiscus, the red hibiscus over a piano keys. And of course, music has been such an important part of your life. Jan, tell me, when did you decide you wanted to do this autobiographical look at your early years, years where you had sight?
We have to thank the third member here who is in your studio, Mr. Andrew T. Greeley, whom I have known since he launched my Jan on Jane lectures 15 years ago. Over the years, Andy had said, you know, Jan, your early experiences are book worthy. They are interesting because you've accomplished a great deal under unusual circumstances. I never had the time to think about it, though I have written all my life, a lot of poetry and several essays. As the years passed, I realized that this was becoming more interesting, and I even opened a file called biography in my computer. Still did nothing. Then my mother died age 99 in 2009. And just 2 weeks after that, I was asked to give a talk called My Life in Music and Poetry, which I did, making it a very nice memoriam to her. I took the same talk and expanded it to a 2-hour lecture, which I gave for my music history class, which has been in existence off and on for over 30 years. These people knew I did things differently. If you raise your hand to get my attention in the class, it won't work. And so I thought, I've always been very close-lipped about discussing my issues with blindness, but I thought the time had come. These people, I owe it to them to know exactly what my situation was. So in my book, you will see, as you read the prelude and the postlude, using musical terms, of course, in the prelude, I describe the class as I taught it in March 2010. You will sense that I am tentative. I'm not going to be playing a Mozart sonata. I'm going to be talking about a little girl who loved playing in the stream that ran across the property in the front of her family home. I wasn't going to discuss the intricacies of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. I was going to tell about a child who loved hugging maple trees and picking great bouquets of lilacs. So, gradually, as my story unfolded, my class members were fascinated. And as you read the book, that would be the equivalent in far greater detail than attending the 2-hour lecture, because then when I write the postlude, it does express the overwhelmingly warm, rich, loving feeling of enthusiasm that I had from these people who just were listening to all of my experiences. And indeed, many of their remarks had nothing to do with blindness. It was, oh, you were in London in 1958. I was there too. Well, they were between 10 and 20 years older than I. Mm-hmm. I was a young child. They would have been young marrieds. Or, oh, I loved your description of Versailles. Or, and you saw the Matterhorn? One man said he had climbed it. Uh-huh. So as soon as I taught that class for the third time, I wrote my outline, a very detailed outline. And then from that, I built my text. The original first draft only took 3.5 months to write.
Jan Irwin is with us. She is the author of Making Friends with Other Trees and Flowers. The book is newly published. And I want to, what would you like the reader to take away, Jan, from this book?
I have been receiving many notes from friends who have read the book over the past, it's hard to believe, it's only 6 weeks. And the main things which they carry away from it are my great feeling of optimism that I can do things, my feeling of love of life, in spite of having low vision and then gradually losing it. I stored all those visual memories in my mind so I can still call upon them. Even though I no longer see colors, they are there shining in my imagination. And this, I hope, would be of interest to people, and I've already found out about this, regardless of the disability. I've had people saying, my daughter has cerebral palsy, or my daughter has severe ADHD, or my son has low vision. It doesn't have to be the same set of problems, but certainly people will read that during those early preschool years, that if the parents can spend as much time and attention on letting the child become familiar with his or her world and surroundings, that will be the best start that any child can have.
Jan, you lost your, we only have just a few seconds left, but you lost, your total vision was gone at what age?
In my early 20s.
Okay, and this period that you write about is the time of life when you had low vision.
From the beginning of my life to when I was 18 going off to college. As you will read, I never could see people well. I never saw faces. I could never see things at a distance. But I could see the beauty of the New England autumn leaves, which are probably just past their peak now. But every time fall comes, I pull out those memories of maple leaves.
Jan Irwin, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Barnes & Noble, the Broadway store, will be the big release party for the book. The book signing will be 7 o'clock in the evening, November the 18th. Jan, I know you're looking forward to that.
Yes, I am.
And meeting all the people who want to come out and say hello. Congratulations on Making Friends with Other Trees and Flowers, a story of low vision and high expectations. Thank you, Jan. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Bill.
Jan Irwin with us on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Today is Election Day. We've got John C. Scott and Emil Franzi tonight co-hosting the KVOI Election Night results from 8 to 10 right here on KVOI. And, of course, we'll break down the election tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show live at noon. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.